From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. Government forces in the Democratic Republic of Congo have retaken the city of Bukavu from rebel troops. The rebel takeover of the city last week sparked riots and fighting around the country. Today's reclaiming of Bukavu is a boon for the year-old transitional government, which is trying to prove it can reunify the vast Central African nation. Congo is attempting to put a 5-year civil war behind it. A fragile peace has allowed commerce to resume along some stretches of the Congo River, but many residents say daily life has improved only slightly over the last year. NPR's Jason Bobian reports.
One of the most visible signs of peace in the Congo is the abundance and variety of food for sale at the docks in Kinshasa. Women sit behind pyramids of white cassava powder. Kids hawk clumps of vegetable greens. A man in a red nylon jacket that says Wentworth Cheerleading across the back is selling piles of blackened fish and smoked monkeys. Over the last couple of months, rusted barges started moving again along hundreds of miles of the Congo River. 24-year-old Koso Mbango has just traveled for a week down the river on a flat-decked barge with a dozen sacks of cassava root. He says things are improving since the end of the war because he can sell his goods again in the capital. The dried cassava root called fufu that Mbango is selling is a staple of the Congolese diet. Traders say that over the last year, the price of a bag of fufu has dropped from 12,000 francs to 4,000. Solely because boats are moving again on the Congo River. The Congo Civil War broke out in 1998, just 1 year after Mobutu Sese Seko fled into exile. Mobutu's 3 decades of corrupt rule had already destroyed much of the Congo's infrastructure. The civil war wiped out most of what was left. The 5-year war involved numerous rebel groups and the armies of 6 other African nations. Kevin Hartigan, the director of Catholic Relief Services Central Africa office in Kinshasa, says advancing and retreating militias left most of the country in ruins.
Those areas have been repeatedly looted and very thoroughly looted, you know, schools, health centers, all of the rest of the social infrastructure has been pretty much gutted.
Kinshasa General Hospital is in better shape than many health facilities across the country because it didn't experience direct looting, but it still lacks even the most basic supplies. The head of the emergency department at Kinshasa General, Dr. Bwebwe Kabamba, says patients or their family members have to go out shopping for medical supplies before they're treated.
Almost everything, dressing, infusion, alcohol, and there are people who are dying simply. They don't have money to buy all this.
At the entrance to the emergency room, there's a booth, sort of like a ticket seller's window at a cinema. Consultation fees must be paid before admission.
Car accident, broken leg.
Inside, a young man with a bruised and bloodied face lies on a rusty gurney in the hallway.
This guy had been beaten this night here. We're waiting to have some x-ray, but everything had to be paid. This is the reality.
The 12 beds in the emergency ward are all full. One man has his arm in a cardboard cast because he's waiting for his family to raise the money to buy a real one. In addition to being a doctor, Kabamba is the head of the Patriotic Front, an opposition political party which has no representation in the current government. The current administration is made up of the leaders of the Congo's largest rebel groups, plus Joseph Kabila. Kabila inherited the presidency in 2001 after his father Laurent was assassinated. A 2002 peace accord calls for the transitional government to reunify the country, merge the various rebel groups into a national army, and hold elections by June of 2005. Kabamba points out that as a medical doctor, he earns $40 a month, while the rebels-turned politicians are taking home $4,000 a month as ministers. He says there's no incentive for this government to hold elections.
We have many problems, but we said, at least do this. But for the time being, after 1 year, no positive sign towards the elections.
The government in Kinshasa shows few signs of establishing control over the vast nation. The governmental structures that still exist are riddled with corruption. Most bureaucrats haven't been paid for years, so they demand bribes. When Mobutu Sese Seko couldn't pay his soldiers, he told them to live off the land, and the rest of the civil servants followed suit. In Kinshasa's bustling central market, everything from doorknobs to live alligators are for sale. Jacqueline Lalula is selling ground cassava powder. Over the last year, Lalula says police harassment has increased. The police are arresting a lot of us, she says. They're giving us a hard time, taking away our money. The relative peace and stability that's come to the Congo over the last year is backed by 10,000 United Nations peacekeepers. That peace was shattered on June 2nd when renegade Congolese troops seized the city of Bukavu on the Rwandan border. Students across the country rioted, blaming the UN for not defending Bukavu against the mutineers. In Kisangani, 900 miles upriver from Kinshasa, mobs attacked UN offices, burned down the headquarters of the Red Cross, and called for the UN to pull out of the Congo. Similar riots occurred in cities across the country. President Kabila blamed the fall of Bukavu on neighboring Rwanda, calling it an invasion. The renegade soldiers who took Bukavu are Banyamulenge, a tribe from eastern Congo with close ethnic ties to the Tutsis in Rwanda. A money changer in Kisangani, who didn't want to give his name, said the Banyamulenge fighters, despite having just defected from the Congolese army, are foreigners.
The Banyamulenge are not Congolese. They are Rwandese and they have their country.
The fall of Bukavu dealt a blow both to national unity and to the UN forces that are trying to hold this fractious nation together. Congo, however, has survived for years without a central government. People are poor, many have died because of malnutrition and disease, but those who survive pick themselves up quickly. The morning after the worst day of riots in Kisangani, traders are up before dawn, skimming across the Congo River in dugout canoes, lugging big bags of charcoal on their heads towards the market, pushing bicycles laden with thick bunches of cassava leaves. A Congolese soldier in his camouflage uniform, a rifle slung over his shoulder, has positioned himself on the footpath leading up from the riverbank. He's demanding contributions for his breakfast from all the passers-by. Jason Beaubien, NPR News.
You can see photos of life along the Congo River at npr.org.